Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, candy canes are not so fresh, a no bags line is tested,
another holiday is creeping in and it's not even Christmas, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 9 for the week of November 29th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Urban. We hope that you all had a great holiday and we are thankful for all of our listeners. Now let's get to the news. The Candlelight Processional will be performed this year on Saturday, December 2nd and Sunday, December 3rd, with two performances each night. We were not able to get any specific information on who will be narrating this year or any ticket information like in years past, so keep an eye out for that online if you're interested in going.
Jimmy Ford posted on Twitter this week that Disneyland is testing a no-bags line at security. This will be a much-needed and welcome change if they decide to have this as an option permanently. I know that when I went to Disney World, the no-bags lines were always moving quickly and offered easy access to the parks. I hope this will be the case at Disneyland as well.
Candy canes are back on Main Street, but there is a little look under the pixie dust by way of a comment on Mice Chat's Facebook page from a former cast member. He states that the candy canes that are available for purchase began production in July to meet the demand. Only 45 can be made per batch, with a batch made in the morning and one in the evening. He also states that this is the same for the Brittle, English Toffee, Turtles, and chocolate-covered caramels.
Unless you request a fresh package from what they are making in the window, that candy is possibly up to a month old. There is a backstage kitchen behind the Old Mad Tea Party arcade in California Adventure, where the bulk of the candy is made and stored. If you're still interested in picking up one of these sweet confections, they will be available at Disneyland's Candy Palace on December 1st, 4th, 6th, 8th, 11th, 13th, 15th, 18th, 20th, and 24th, and at Disney California Adventure Trolley's Treats on December 2nd, 5th, 7th, 9th, 12th, 14th, 16th, 19th, 21st, and 25th.
Whew. There's not even a pattern to those. I was watching the calendar as you were saying that. Last week, we missed reporting on the reopening of the Riverbell Terrace after its lengthy refurbishment. The interior has been updated to remove the counter service and convert the restaurant to a table service option. This change added additional seating indoors as well as additional seating outdoors.
Yeah, I think this might be a good change. I do miss the breakfast there, though.
They got rid of the breakfast?
Yeah, it's over at Rancho Zocalo now.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mickey pancakes and my breakfast potatoes that I love.
See, I don't have quite the tradition you do when you go to Disneyland. That's why I'm looking forward to spending time there with you in the future.
Oh,
hopefully.
I hope you don't have any traditions, because I'll just roll
no,
over
my
all
tradition
them.
Is usually just I don't have much time, so I try and pack in as much as I possibly can.
We realize
can.
We're there for at least 5 days.
I know. See, okay. I've only done 3 days at a time, so
well,
big difference.
You have to do five.
Big difference.
And then you'll enjoy it more. The big controversy this week that at least occurred at the resort was an annual pass holder who posted a picture of herself in Cars Land waiting to see a character while breastfeeding her 10-month-old son. While both parks have a space for moms to breastfeed, there is no law against breastfeeding anywhere in California. Disneyland spokesperson Susie Brown said, "According to California law, mothers are allowed to breastfeed anywhere in public, and they were not aware of any overcrowding of the breastfeeding spaces."
As has been the trend here on Disneyland Weekly, we're going to talk about the next holiday before the current one is even here. The Lunar New Year's Festival will be returning to Disney California Adventure from January 26th to February 18th. It will include live entertainment, special food, and more.
Some of the returning events include Hurry Home, Lunar New Year Celebration, a nighttime water show on Paradise Bay, Disney characters Mulan, Mushu, Mickey Mouse, and his pals all dressed up for the occasion, including Goofy dressed up as the god of good fortune, specialty Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese foods, commemorative merchandise inspired by the different cultures of East Asia, Lucky Wishing Wall, where you can add your own wish, Mulan's Lunar New Year Procession, traditional crafts, and more. For more information on this, visit Disneyland.com/Lunar New Year.
Okay, so let's speculate. What kind of popcorn bucket do you think they're going to come out for the Lunar New Year?
Mushu would be cool.
That's what I was thinking. I think Mushu.
Or maybe, I know it's not Disney, but maybe like a fortune cookie.
It could be Mushu with a fortune cookie.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure it'll sell out either way.
A new menu has debuted at Smoke Jumper's Grill in Disney California Adventure. Some of the new items include a barbecue jackfruit sandwich, which is a vegetarian burger with bear paw slaw, house-made sweet pickles, and crispy onions, and comes on toasted ciabatta with your choice of onion rings or waffle-cut fries. The bacon cheeseburger now comes with American cheese and a new signature smoked sauce. The campfire chili cheeseburger now has a bison black bean chili, as well as jack cheese. You can now order campfire chili as a standalone option that comes with cilantro cream and a cornbread muffin. For a full list of new items, we will have a link in our show notes at DisneylandWeekly.com.
Well, this week, our discussion topic is going to be about something that I saw on the Mice Chat forums today. And the Mice Chat forum, there was a poll asking about, would you approve of a remodel for the Haunted Mansion? So I decided to kind of take that and go in a different direction with it and talk about attractions that we would change or update in the park. I'm going to let Teresa go because she was very adamant about one that she wanted to talk about, which doesn't bother me, but it bothers her, so...
I wasn't adamant. It was just the first thing that came to mind when you said it. So,
but you went on about it.
My thing is something that I would like to see changed actually goes for two attractions. The main one being It's a Small World, but also Ariel's Adventure. What is that called?
Ariel's Undersea Adventure?
Yes, Ariel's Undersea Adventure. I would change both of those because it happens with both of them.
Okay.
So the big one that I think is just confusing and weird, and it's honestly quite distracting for me for some reason, is It's a Small World. You're in your little boat, you're in the little water channel, and I find it very distracting and odd. And like I said, I honestly will catch myself looking down at the floor because you can see the cement floor right next to you while you're in this little boat in the water channel. So for me, it takes away from the magic. I don't feel like I'm in a little, like, I just feel like I'm, I don't know, like in a kiddie pool, I guess would be a good way of saying it. I wish
we discussed before the show, but you don't want it to be like Disney World's where it's all flooded.
No, it doesn't need to be flooded. I wish that they would just do something to hide the floor so you can't, while you're going through, you don't just barely look over the side of your boat and see the cement floor with all of the structures bases down there. So if there was, I mean, even if they just did something, some sort of draping, or it doesn't even have to be the full length of the, or full depth of what the display is, because it just really needs to be out of my eyesight while I'm sitting in the boat. I wish.
So maybe like a ledge.
Yeah, a ledge, but it'd have to be a pretty deep ledge because you're sitting up 3-4 feet in the boat. So
yeah,
it's only like a foot. Sorry, that was my dog Luna. If it was only, you know, a couple feet on each side, I don't feel like that'd quite be enough. So I think it needs to go back maybe 5 or 6 feet at least. If they had some sort of a ledge.
Well, that's basically the whole thing. You'd have to have a ledge to the different set pieces.
Yeah. So if there was just some way, even, you know, and even it doesn't even have to be fancy. It could be some sort of draping or some sort of like fabric just so that I can't see the cement floor.
So how does that apply to Ariel's Undersea Adventure?
There's a few spaces and areas under in that same ride that you can see the floor to, which drastically bothers me.
But that's not a boat
the
ride.
It's still just distracting to me that I can see the floor. Because other dark rides, they do a very good job at masking things. And I don't know what it is that they use. Because I'm trying to think, like, Peter Pan's
flight. Well,
Peter
Pan, everything below you is like you're flying. So it's like the ground way below you, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But they do a good, I mean, you're still looking at the floor.
Everything else,
essence,
I think you're fine with the floor because you're not in a boat or anything. You're driving, you know, like going through Snow White, you're going through their thing. And then
but I feel like the floor, it's not just cement in those things. They have something like it's, whether it's, you know, I don't know, makes it look like grass or wildlife or, you know, something.
So just painting it maybe.
They have some sort of camouflage. Yeah, because in the Ariel's Undersea Adventure, the scene that comes to mind is the under the sea with all of the, you know, all of the animatronics dancing and whatever. And you can, again, you can look at the floor and you can see all the bases that they're on. And I just I find that distracting. I wish there was some sort of, I mean, whether they had fake seaweed down underneath there, I don't know, something so that I don't see the bases of the attraction. It needs to be... I need the magic.
I find that really interesting because I've never actually thought about that before.
Don't do it because now you're going to go on those rides and that's all you're going to be able to look at. So I apologize to everybody out there if you've never noticed this before, but I find it very, very distracting.
You know, something I've been, and not to chastise you on the podcast, but something I've been meaning to mention to you when I listen back to these episodes in editing is, you know, the official term is attraction, not ride. You always say ride. I'm just saying.
I was just using it intermittently. So there.
Yeah. Well, attractions. Shows and attractions.
Well, it's a dark ride. It's not a dark attraction.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting. That's interesting. I never would have thought about that. Now, if I'm thinking about stuff about like updating and trying to change anything, I'm just trying to think. I didn't really think about this beforehand. I mean, even just update, like for me, Space Mountain, when they rebuilt it for the 50th anniversary, like they didn't change the track layout or anything. They just replaced the track and it was felt like a dramatically different attraction, even though it was exactly the same. They just replaced the track. It was smoother. It felt faster, even though it wasn't. That's one. I mean, the thing that I think that they should update the most at both parks, and this is always going to be a fight for me, is the monorails need some loving. And I know Disneyland just got new monorails, but I mean, after going to Disney World, where the monorail like is an actual mode of transportation and not just like another attraction like it is at Disneyland, I kind of want Disneyland to have like a real monorail. And I wouldn't mind if they took it, maybe not took it out of the park, but still made it stop in the park, but made it not loop around so much in the park, maybe, so they could have a taller cabin where people could stand up like in Disney World and you could fit more people on it. And just move the it's never going to happen because monorail beams apparently are really, really expensive. That's the most expensive part of the whole process. But, you know, I just wish they would do something with the monorails, especially with the new hotel that's coming and the new parking structure and everything. Like, you know, you could connect all that with a monorail and it'd be super cool. I think I showed you before Westcott back in the day. I showed you Westcott.
Did I show
you Westcott? Mm-hmm. So that type of thing was pretty cool because it like had the monorail that did a lot of stuff, and then you had the people movers go out to the different things, and like there's just a lot of transportation. And Disney, you know, just hasn't been spending a lot of money on that type of stuff. So it just kind of comes down to you can walk. You're gonna be walking all day anyway, so walk some more. You know, they got the trams from the parking ramp and stuff, but it's not the same. It's not cool and futuristic. Like if I go to Universal, I can ride a tram. I think in some cases, you know, if I go to any other like amusement park that has like a large parking lot, like they have like trams. So it's like it's nothing Disney about it. Where like a people mover or monorail is very Disney. So that's one thing.
You know what else I find distracting?
What's that?
I don't know why this came into mind. I wish that they would do something with the Tiki Room. I like the Tiki Room. I enjoy the Tiki Room. But I also find
it
distracting.
You're speaking heresy.
What?
You're speaking heresy.
You don't like the Tiki Room? The clicking of the mouths while they're singing.
Yeah.
I wish they could do something about that.
Yep. I agree with that. I agree. Okay. Because I was just going to say, I thought you were going to say that you didn't like the show. And I was like, that was audio animatronic attraction.
No. I'm fine with the show. I wish they would do something about the clicking of all the mouths.
Yeah. I could see that because it does feel very mechanical then and not.
I don't know if they can just.
I think it's the beaks. Like they could like pad that or something.
Something. I don't know. Yeah. But there's the clicking. And sometimes I get a little disappointed because there's been a few times that I've gone and watched the show and I've looked at some of the birds and I feel like
they're not moving.
Well, there's always some birds that aren't
synced
moving.
Up or...
But sometimes they just look really old and dusty, like nobody's really cleaned them or paid attention to them in a while. And so sometimes I wish that they would just take more notice or better care at making them look like they're new and like it, and not that it's one of the first attractions and it's been there forever.
I think that one of the main problems with that is you know, I'm just surprised and happy that we still have it. Because in Disney World, they turned it into, well, for a while, until there was a fire, thank God. The only time I'll be happy that there was a fire at a Disney park. But there was, because you knew about Disney World, right? Because it was with Iago.
Yep, it was Iago.
Yeah, it was like, oh, under new management, that's what it's called. Yep. It was a Enchanted Tiki Room under new management, and it had Iago, and it was whatever. People didn't like it. Well, there was a fire, and the fire burnt the Iago animatronic, so they're like, hey, let's just put it back to the old thing. And when I went there in Disney World, I was really sad because Disneyland show is like, you know, 10-15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. The one in Orlando is like 7 minutes. Like, it's very truncated. It's very like, there's like two songs and like very shortened versions of a couple other songs. It's just very like get you in, get you out. I was a little sad by that.
That might just be capacity though. How many more people are going through that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's a piece of history.
You know, I do think it would be interesting, and they could do it tastefully like they have with It's a Small World, but it'd be interesting if they kind of, I mean, not the full Iago's under new management thing, but if they did just kind of put Easter eggs of some of the famous birds. Like, you could have Zazu from The Lion King in there. You could have Hey Hey from Moana. You don't think that'd be cool? They did that with It's a Small World, how they have...
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Disney Easter eggs.
I don't like that either.
I thought it was interesting.
I'm one of those weird people, and there's a lot of people who feel this way, and it's not really warranted. I mean, if Walt was alive today and had kept control of the parks, I think a lot of the classic attractions we have, like, I would even venture to say maybe even Pirates would have been replaced by now. He was very kill it, move on, let's do something different, like let's do something better. So I can guarantee Tiki Room would not be there anymore.
So you would rather get rid of the Tiki Room?
What I'm saying is that I think stuff that Walt did himself should not be touched.
Okay.
But then that kind of goes against his thing of like it'll never be complete, like, and things should always change.
I like enhancing them.
But so, see, sometimes I don't think it's an enhancement. Like the changes that are coming up to Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're taking out the auction scene because of political correctness. Like, I think that's one of the most iconic scenes in that whole attraction, and you're going to change it. You know, a few years ago, people didn't like that they made it so that it was really sexist that the male pirates were chasing the female, you know, people in the town.
That's right, and they turned it off, didn't they?
Well, they put one of them had a girl chasing the guy or something, I think was in the original. Then they were like, they turned that off or changed it.
The thing that I think that is interesting and I don't really like is I do like that they put parts of the movie into Pirates of the Caribbean again. You just kind of, it's the same ride, but it's just a little bit more, it's a little more fresh. And so it was more interesting. I was, got more excited to go see the changes. Thing I don't understand is why is Jack in there three times? I can't think of any other attraction that has the same character in it placed so many different times, whereas he's the only one that's in there three times because he's in the barrel and then he's at the end on the chair, and there was one other place that he's
well
at.
The you know, if you talk about dark rides, there's up in a bunch of different places.
He's got the he's in the well. That's the other place.
Yeah, he's hiding by the clothes when the mayor's getting dunked. He's coming out of the barrel when they're looking for the map.
Yep.
And then he's in the treasure room at the end. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of, I don't know, because it's supposed to be three different show scenes. I like Pirates. I just kind of wish that, I don't know. Like, it doesn't bother me now, I guess. It's been there for a while. But when it first happened, I was like, why change it? Like, and then with this thing with the auction scene, like, why are we changing it? Like, I don't know.
You know which I'm happy? Okay, so the movies, Pirates of the Caribbean, yep. I feel were based on the attraction.
The first one, for sure.
I am very glad that, you know, they came out quite a while ago with the movie based on the Haunted Mansion,
which
I'm
was terrible.
So glad that they did not update that ride to reflect parts of that movie.
Well, it was a dud, that's why. Well, Pirates of the Caribbean was very, very popular and did very well at the box, mm-hmm. which is why there's been four or five of them now. And I think there's still another one coming, believe it or not. I don't like that. I'm glad that, you know, when you're talking about enhancements, though, I do agree with enhancements. So, for instance, Haunted Mansion, they added the Hatbox Ghost, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they've done things where they've done overlays. Haunted Mansion Holiday. I love Haunted Mansion Holiday. So you could do all that kind of stuff, which is nice. But see, that's a good idea. See, you can do that with like Haunted Mansion with the Hatbox Ghost, is you can make a change and not make it detrimental. It's like plussing it because you want to plus it. Like, the fundamental storyline and feel of the Haunted Mansion is not different because the Hatbox Ghost is there.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The other thing too is Haunted Mansion Holiday, how they added Sally after the fact. That was a nice addition.
Additions are good.
It didn't, you know, it didn't distract from. I don't think the little nods to Disney films are distracting in It's a Small World.
But again, this goes back to something we talked about on a previous episode, where not every attraction has to have a Disney intellectual property in it.
Great.
The Tiki Room is an intellectual property by itself.
Yeah.
How would you say, so let's reverse it. How would you feel if they went back and they digitally remastered Aladdin to have the Tiki Room birds in it?
This is not Star Wars we're not talking about.
Right, but do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same thing if you flip it.
I get it. But see, I can see the other side of it too, is I feel like putting those little intellectual property Easter eggs, we'll call them, into the classic rides, I feel like that would maybe captivate younger audiences, because they don't, I mean, the Tiki Room, they don't know it, but they didn't grow up, you know, well, I guess they're growing up with the Tiki Room, but for them to go into the Tiki Room, I think it'd be more like, oh, look, it's Zazu, or it's Iago, or it's Hey, you know.
So the argument that you're making, let me see if I can understand this right, because actually, if this is your argument that you're making, I can kind of understand it, where you're trying to meet the happy medium of keeping Walt's original things that were, like, It's a Small World was amazing when it came out, because it was like all these animatronic figures, and there were so many of them, and it was so different than anything else. Well, it's not really that different or unique anymore.
Right.
So you got to be something there for the kids, right? Yes. So you got to put in like a character, and they're like, oh, I recognize that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the wow factor, not the technology
that's not there anymore. What I'm saying.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, because I never thought about that. I guess when I was younger, I still thought it was really cool. And I'm not that old. I mean, I think It's a Small World, when the first time I went to Disneyland, I think It's a Small World had already passed its technological, you know, awesomeness or whatever.
See, the thing that for me that's so amazing about It's a Small World and is so amazing about Special Moments with Lincoln,
yeah,
is just the fact of knowing
great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Yes, great moments with Mr. Special Lincoln.
I just feel like for some reason I had like an SNL skit, like, and now Special Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Sorry, great moments with Mr. Lincoln. Okay, so the thing that I find so great about those attractions, and Vern, the first time he'd ever been to the park was about 5-6 years ago, was with me. And I'm like, oh, we've got to go on It's a Small World. And he's going through this and he's just like, this song, he didn't get it. And then I had to explain it to him. I said, he's like, why do you like this, right? Why do you like this so much? This is not as exciting as other attractions. Notice the placement there. Other attractions that we have been on, you know, why? And so I explained to him, I said, well, I explained the history about it. I explained that this was, you know, created for the World's Fair and it's so old and, you know, how amazing is it that this was done way back when? And then he got it. And then we went, same thing with Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. We went in and I'm like, God, this is so amazing. He's just looking at me like, you know, there's better animatronics and whatever. I mean, name another ride. There's better animatronics.
Framed. It's not. He didn't have that history to frame it into.
Exactly.
So to him, it was like, well, this is a cheap, old school animatronic. What's so exciting about this? Didn't realize that Lincoln was like the first humanoid animatronic.
But yeah, no. So it didn't really dawn on me, because I know the history. I know the backstories of some of these classic original rides, whatever you want to call them. And so I can understand how they need to do something fresh for people that don't know the history and don't maybe understand the importance of why these attractions are still here and what makes this special, instead of just, oh, this is boring. So I can see, you know, placing things in them to make them more interesting, make them more appealing for the people that don't appreciate the history.
Good argument. Well, I think that that'll kind of draw us to a conclusion here. I'm sure there's plenty of more attractions we could talk about that we would change or update. But I think we hit some good points here. Let's hear from you guys. Is there any attractions that you would change or update somewhere in the park? Let us know on social media. You can email us at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. You can tweet at us at DL Weekly on Twitter. You can search for Disneyland Weekly on Facebook and send us a message there or post on our page if you'd like. That's all the different ways to communicate, right? You can go on our website at DisneylandWeekly.com. There's a contact page there if you'd like as well.
You did forget the tin can and the string method. Very effective.
Oh, yes. Well, it's only for people who are near us, I guess. So we have a first this week. We have some listener mail.
Yay! Mike writes in, I was at the park this weekend and got my Max Pass. It was kind of a pain to use because cell service isn't very good in the Disneyland park, and I noticed that Wi-Fi was only available near the main gates. Didn't notice any problems in Disney California Adventure. Became a big problem when trying to use my Fast Pass and Photo Pass through the Disneyland app. Have you heard of any other people having this problem, or if you've heard of any fixes to this problem?
He also goes on to say, love the show.
Oh, yes. Love the show.
I didn't have any issues with my cellular service all the different times I've been there. I know the last time I was there, Wi-Fi was not really in the parks in any meaningful way. I think they had like a beta thing or like a test out period. I know at Disney World I used it, and I thought at Disney World it was kind of slow. So I just would never rely on it. When I was finding problems with the Wi-Fi, I would just hop over to the self-service. I don't know who your carrier is, Mike. If you have Sprint or AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon, I personally have Verizon and have found their coverage there to be fine. Has anyone in the audience had issues in the parks? Let us know, and we can maybe get some feedback to Mike and how your experience has been. Has anybody in our audience actually tried MaxPass yet? And what's your experience been like? Do you like it? Do you not like it? I'm sure when Teresa and I go next, we'll use MaxPass probably. But that's not going to be in the short term.
You know, the other thing that I wonder might play an effect is if it has something to do with the actual service itself, you know, not your cell service, not Wi-Fi, not a connectivity issue. If it's something to do with the MaxPass system itself, is it maybe bogged down
like
from, you know,
yeah,
like, is it bogged down from everybody else trying to use it? Is it are there still glitches or whatever you want to call it in the system itself? So it'd be interesting if it's to hear from other people to see if they're experiencing the same issues and maybe what carriers or, you know, if they notice that internet connectivity was an issue also, you know, try and figure out which way it is. Is it the phone or is it the actual MaxPass programming?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. But let us know out there if you have any feedback on this. If anybody knows or is a cast member at Disney or has any consistent, if you're an annual pass holder and you've been to the park a bunch of times, what's it normally like? Let us know. Before we wrap up this week, we'd like to point out that we have the highly anticipated Outtakes episode available if you're an annual pass holder level patron over at Patreon. You can access this by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support and clicking on the play option for the post. Let us know what you think of the Outtakes by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com.
That is all we have for you this week. We are entirely supported by the listeners and not advertisements. If you find value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us with just a dollar, about 25 cents per episode, by going to our website at DisneylandWeekly.com/support to find out how.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!"
Booyah!
Yeah!
Crushed it. But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.